Welcome to Awaken Life Church podcast. For more information about our church, please visit awakenlifechurch.net. We hope you enjoy this message by Joy Willett. We're doing good, feeling good, and baby's growing, and loves to dance on my bladder at night. It's awesome. It's like, it's kind of nice because it's like, okay, the baby's doing good, but sometimes it's like, okay, I need to sleep. Take a nap. But doing good. So we're excited. Man, it seems like I just found out that Grace was pregnant and they had their baby. So it's like, we're going to blink and we're going to have another one too. So we're excited. God's good. So one other announcement that we wanted to make as well is that we are starting a sermon series in February. Look how grown up we are. Doesn't that sound so grown up? Sermon series. But the Lord put in our heart to do a sermon series in February, and it is called How to Love Series. Okay? How to Love Series. Aw, everyone's like, aw. It's a How to Love Series, and it happens to be in February, which is awesome because it's Valentine's Day. But that's not the reason. The Lord put it on our heart. If we read in Matthew 28, 19 to 20, is where Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you." Okay, so that's the Great Commission, to go forth and disciple nations. And it says specifically, when you disciple them, teach them to obey all that I command you. Okay, so what is it that Jesus commanded us to do? I feel like I'm breathing hard. I can't take as deep a breath right now. This is what Jesus commanded us to do. John 13, 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Okay, so we have been commanded to love, of course, the Lord our God. Amen. And we've been commanded to love one another. Okay, so discipleship, true discipleship, is not where you sit in a classroom and learn a bunch of facts about the Bible and, you know, a bunch of knowledge and stuff like that. Literally, discipling is teaching people how to love. Amen. Teaching people how to love. It's funny because that's something we're commanded to do. We know that love never fails. Love is powerful. Everything that we do is completely worthless without love. However, no one ever teaches us how to love. No one teaches us the mechanics. We're just expected, well, you should love. You should love. But sometimes fear gets in there and other things get in there. And especially in the light of grace and that revelation of God's grace, it does change the way we respond, the way we parent, the way we operate in marriage. When we have that that powerful grace empowering us, it does change how we respond to people and things like that. And so it's going to be a great series to invite someone to, and it's something very specific if they need marriage help, relationship help, parenting help, anything like that, or even just growing in their relationship in love with the Lord as well. It's going to be an awesome series, and so be expectant for that, be praying for that, and also invite a friend to that. It's going to be awesome. Amen. And so the message for today is called Powerful People. Okay. Did you know that you are a powerful person? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a powerful person. Amen. We are powerful people. Y'all powerful. 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 Okay. We are powerful people. We were created to be powerful. Amen. We were created in the image of God, and God is all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient, everywhere at once. Amen? And we were created in his image. So we were created to be powerful. We were not created to be weak, mindless robots. You know, Jesus, tell me what to do. You know, we were created to be powerful, to make powerful choices, and to walk empowered by the grace that Jesus paid for on the cross. Amen? Amen. So Jesus, we just thank you so much, God, for who you are. Lord, we just pray, Father, your blessing, your anointing, your power, your love, God, on this message. Lord, I pray that every heart, ear, mind, spirit would just be anointed, God, to hear your rhema word this morning, Jesus. Lord, we just ask for your anointing to flow, God. We thank you for your spirit, Lord, just being poured out during worship, Lord, in love and grace, Lord Jesus. And we just say, continue to just pound us with your love, pound us with your grace, pound us with your identity, Father, upon our hearts, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you for it, Jesus, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. So Proverbs 29:18 says, my people perish for a lack of vision. Okay? My people perish for a lack of vision. When you look up the word for vision there, vision literally means prophetic vision. When you look up that same Hebrew word in all the other places in the Old Testament, it's literally talking about a dream or an actual vision given by the Lord. So this is not simply just have a vision for your life and just imagine, you know, whatever. This is God's prophetic vision for your life. It says when we don't have that vision before our eyes, that we begin to perish. And perish literally means to cast off restraint. It means to be naked. It means to be uncovered and basically vulnerable to enemy attack, okay? So when we don't have that prophetic vision for our life, what is it that God has set out for us to do? What is it that God has predestined for us? What are the works that he's called us to walk into? When we don't have that set before our eyes and we're not moving toward that, we become naked and uncovered to the enemy, and then we get taken out. Amen? But we were created to be powerful people, and every single one of us has a powerful vision from the Lord. Amen? There is not one that's left out. There's not like, oh man, that person has a powerful calling, but mine is just, you know, simple and whatever. Every single calling, every single one of you is powerful and needed in the kingdom, and every single one of you carries something that nobody else carries. Amen? So if your light goes out, then there is a piece of Jesus that is not expressed in the world that is needed. Amen? There is some heart that needs to be ministered to that's not going to receive that ministry because you're the only one that was designed to bring that word in that way. Amen? Amen? You were created to be powerful. Okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm powerful. Amen. Amen. So I can share with you the church's vision. Okay? The church's vision, and I have a statement written out that the Lord gave to us. The church's vision is to awaken and empower God's church to be a powerful influence in every aspect of our culture, connecting people to God's love, grace, healing, encouragement, direction, and to their true identity in Christ. Okay, so memorize that if you can. But that's the church's vision, okay? Literally the prophetic vision from the Lord, and he's given us several prophetic visions, was it's the church's turn. Awaken my church, awaken them to my love, awaken them to identity in me, amen? So we have a vision that's given by the Lord, so we have that thing right before our face so that every step we're taking moving toward that vision that the Lord's given us, amen? And as we're moving toward that, then we are not as prone to the enemy's attacks and things like that because we are clothed in that vision, if that makes sense. Amen? So it's really important. God's vision is that it's the church's turn. The vision that the Lord has given, literally a dream and a vision that he's given, is that this church is completely packed out, okay? It's so funny. We keep saying that, and it's going to happen. That is the vision from the Lord, and his word does not return void. Amen? I saw it. He showed me. He showed me so many of your faces here. So it's not like, you know, 10 years in the future or 20 years in the future. I saw your faces. I saw this place completely filled. And I saw people just encountering the Lord just so powerfully, falling out in the spirit, people getting healed, people getting saved. And then not only that, the dream also had a second part where outside of the church, there's people getting delivered. There's people getting saved. There's people getting healed out everywhere. It was like out in the forest and there was crowds of people and things, amazing things were taking place. Amen. And so that is the vision that the Lord has for this church. Amen. It's his vision. His word's not going to return void. That's what's coming. His word for us is to enlarge our tents, okay? Enlarge our tents now, and that's kind of where Pastor Daniel and I have been focusing a lot of our effort and attention, and it's behind the scenes, so you won't see it until it sort of comes forth, but the Lord has been speaking to us, start pastoring this church as if it's a church of 200, so that you're ready for the growth when it comes. Start leading the leaders as if you're leading a church of 200, because that's what's coming, and of course, further than that, down the road as well. Amen. But there's something to putting action to what the Lord's vision is before we see the manifestation of what's going to happen. Amen? You're sort of putting your faith into motion by taking the action of actually enlarging your tent before the growth comes. Amen? Getting ready, getting children's ministry ready, getting our youth ready and all that type of thing so that we can minister to the people, so that we can actually serve the people better. Amen? So that's the church's vision, okay? But we also need to have individual vision for every single one of our lives. Amen? Amen? You need prophetic vision in your life, Amen? Okay, let me give you part of that vision, because of course there's going to be a specific vision for you that I can't tell you unless the Lord reveals to me through some prophetic word or something, but you have that vision, okay? If you feel like you don't have a vision, it's something that you can pray for, but I would submit to you, you probably have more of a feel for it than you realize. If you look at the desires of your heart, the giftings, the things that the Lord has placed on you, what is it that burns in your heart? Like, what is it that just causes you to, like, just passionately just say, oh, that needs to change, or that thing is so not right. I want to make that right. There's something that I can do. Whatever that thing is in your heart, or whatever just moves your heart and just, you just feel the Lord's pleasure when you do that thing or whatever. I submit to you that you already have a vision from the Lord, and it's just something to continue to pray over and to start to walk in. Amen. Amen. So here is part of the overall vision for your life. Deuteronomy 28:13 says, you are the head and not the tail. Amen. You are the head and not the tail. Tell your neighbor, you're the head and not the tail. I hope you like your neighbor, because you're going to be talking to him a lot. You are the head and not the tail. Okay? You are the head and not the tail. You have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Amen? All authority and power was given to Jesus, and Jesus empowered us and said, here, you have power over all the power of the enemy. Amen? Say, I have power over all the power of the enemy. Amen. He has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. Amen? Say, I have authority over all the power of the enemy. Okay? You have the keys, you have authority, you have power. Amen? That means the devil has no authority. We do in Jesus' name. Amen? Jesus gave us power and authority over all the power of the enemy. We have the keys. We are the head. We're not the tail. What does that mean? Okay, fine. What does it mean to be the head and not the tail? Okay? When I had heard that phrase before, what I had always thought is, when someone's mean to me, then that's the thought, hey, I'm the head, I'm not the tail. You know, I shouldn't take that kind of treatment. Amen. I'm the head. I'm above. I'm not below. Right? And of course, you know, the tail end of the animal is obviously not the most pleasant part. Amen. So it's like, I'm the head and I'm not the yucky tail. You know, that's kind of how I'd always thought of it before. But the Lord sort of opened my eyes to something. What is it specifically about the head versus the tail? The head has eyes. It can see. It has vision. It has a mind. And the head is what is leading. Amen? It's the head that leads. I don't know a single animal where the tail is what leads. Amen? Okay, the head is what leads. The tail has no choices. The tail can only follow where the head is going. Amen? And that's who you are. You are a head. Amen? Say, I'm the head of my life.
I'm the head of my life.
Say, I'm powerful. Amen. I am the head. I'm not the tail. Okay. It's funny. When I was growing up, we had this blue station wagon growing up. And so we lived with no seatbelts. Riding in the back of that station wagon, we go on road trips or, you know, go somewhere. And I'm a lot like Ran, and I kind of want to know what the plan is. Where are we going and when, and how are we going to get there, and, you know, what's going to happen next? And so I've kind of always been like that. So I would ask my dad, and I probably was making him crazy now that I'm a parent. I'm like, oh, that's why he did that. But he would be driving the car, and I would ask him, Dad, where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going next? And he'd be like, oh, just follow me. That was his answer. I hated that answer. Such a dad answer. Okay, oh, just follow me, or follow your nose, he would say. And I'd be in the back of the thing, and I'm like, I have no control. I can't do anything. I'm just riding in the back. I'm riding in the tail of the station wagon. But can I tell you that that is not your life? Amen? You are not riding in the back of the station wagon that Jesus is driving. Amen? You are not riding in the back of a station wagon that the world is driving. Amen? You are not riding in the back of a station wagon that the president is driving.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. We are in the driver's seat of our own life. Amen? We're in the driver's seat of our own calling, of our own ministry. Amen? And of course, Jesus is there with us. We are yoked with him. Amen. Of course, Jesus, take the wheel. you know. We want to walk in that surrender to the Lord. But ultimately, we are the powerful person that he has said, you'd have the keys. You go heal the sick. You go raise the dead. Amen. Go and do it. You are empowered. You have my love. You have my grace. Don't worry about sin. Go. Amen. So he's put us in the driver's seat. Amen. You are the head and not the tail of your life. Amen. Amen. So what the scripture is saying is not just describing our identity and how people should treat us or what kind of behavior we should accept. It's literally a scripture talking about us as leaders and describing us as leaders, not only of our own lives, but leaders in our culture, leaders in our workplace, all those around us, everywhere we go, we are leaders as Christians. Amen. We're the light of the world. And so we have to do our part and we have to lead. Amen. We have to start by leading our own lives, but to not fall into passivity. Amen? We don't want to fall into passivity. Life isn't just happening to us. Amen? It's a product of all the choices that we've made, and our life is also the product of the confessions that we've made over our lives up until now. Amen? Or oh my. I see a couple oh my's. Amen? Your life, where it's at, is a product of all the confessions that you've been making as well. Amen? Amen? Now, of course, there are circumstances that happen to us that are out of our control. I'm not saying that. I'm not making light of that. Sometimes bad things happen or unexpected things happen. But we always have a choice in how we respond to it. There is always something powerful that we can do in response to things that happen. Amen? Amen. So what we want to do is start to take personal responsibility. Amen? So often, even Christians, and, you know, these are thoughts that I've thought as well. It's just like, well, my marriage just is what it is. You know, oh, well, we've just fallen out of love, right? And we're sort of denying some personal responsibility there. Amen? It just is what it is. I hate my job, but there's nothing I can do. Amen? Those are the words. That's the confession of a powerless person. Amen. But we are not powerless people. Amen. Okay. Your prophetic vision will always be facing forward. Amen. Think when I think of the head and not tail, I always think of a horse. I don't know why I always think of a horse. A horse is always going to be facing forward in the direction that it's going. Amen. The vision that the Lord gives you is always going to be facing forward and taking new ground. Amen. Here's what I see a lot of the time. And here's what I've also done in my life is that I am trying to lead my life on the tail end, looking at all the places that I've been and trying to get out of that place. And I'm trying to like ride the horse backwards, looking at my past. Amen. When I'm doing that, I am not going to get anywhere. Amen. I'm just going to end up in circles, but I'm so focused on the past. I'm so focused on, I want to be not that thing. Okay. So, but that's not a powerful way to live. Amen. That's a powerless way of looking at our past as sort of controlling our future. Amen? What we want to do is we always want to be facing forward in our vision, okay? Yeah, I had that problem in my past. Yeah, that thing happened to me. Or yes, I made those choices or whatever it was. I that addiction, whatever it is that I want out of. Yes, that's a part of my past. But Lord, where is it that you want me to go? Amen? What is it that you've set for me to do? Okay? It's like that stuff, it really doesn't matter when we start to move this way. And the more we focus this way, the more we focus on the vision the Lord's given us, the more those things that try to entangle us just get left behind. Amen? Amen? It's a powerful decision to decide to go with God's vision and lead your life. Amen? And to turn away from the past, turn away from the tail end. Amen? You'll never get anywhere trying to look at life from the tail end and what you're trying to come out of. Do you notice that the armor of God is the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the shoes of peace, the sword of the Spirit. Do you notice that all of it is facing forward? Amen. There's no like armadillo backpack to like guard you from the back. Why is that? Why is it that all the armor is facing forward? It's because we were meant to be on the offensive. We were never meant to turn around and retreat because we don't need to be protected that way. Amen. We're meant to take new ground. We're meant to be powerful, be on the offensive. Amen. So all of the armor is in the front because we're expected to fight from that place of victory and take ground away from the enemy. Amen. It's a different way to look at life. Amen? It's a different way to look at life. Why is all the armor facing front? Because we are the head and not the tail. Okay? We were designed and empowered to be on the offensive and never to retreat. So you're overcoming addiction, so you're overcoming wounds, bad habits, health issues, debt, whatever it is, but where is it that you're going? Where is it that God wants you to be? Keep your eyes on that and move in that direction. Amen? Amen. Powerlessness is a lie. Powerlessness is a lie from the enemy. Have any of you ever felt powerless in your life? Welcome to the human race. That's a lie that the enemy tries to get us in. We all have moments like that. We can have moments like that throughout our day. Amen. But it's no less of a lie. Powerlessness is a complete lie. Okay. We were created in the image of a powerful God. He gave us free will. Amen. God values love and he values freedom. So that means he values choices. Amen. So that's why he didn't put a baby gate around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. Amen? Because we are not free to make a choice. We're not free to love if we are slaves and we only have one option. Amen? So God values us to be powerful. He values that we have a choice, that we can make a good decision and we can make a bad decision. That's something that he values about us. Amen? Amen. So believing the lie of powerlessness will lead to us being inactive, us being passive, us being very angry. It can lead to rage. When you feel like you have no control over your life, you feel like everyone else is in charge of your life, and oh my gosh, you know, something from the outside has to come and make me okay. It's a very anxious way to live life. Amen. You're completely out of control. You're at the mercy of everyone else around you. Amen. It can lead to rage. It can lead to control. It can lead to blame. Amen. There's a lot of really negative things that come out of people feeling powerless. Amen. It's funny. We went through many battles with Ethan when he was younger. He is a strong-willed child. And I know that the Lord has given him that. Like, his name is very prophetic. It means strong and enduring. And when we gave him that name, we're like, okay, we'll see what his personality is going to be like. He's going to be strong and enduring, and hopefully we can out-endure him. But we went through a lot of issues with him where we would tell him no about something, and particularly when it was something that he was expecting or like a certain routine that would normally happen, if we had to try to shift him out of that routine, it was like, I'm out of control. And when he felt out of control, then he would let us know. And he would scream, and he would throw himself on the ground and kick. And it didn't matter if we were in public or not. He didn't care who was watching, in church, wherever. And he would just have his fit. And this would happen multiple times a day. And he would scream and be inconsolable oftentimes for over an hour. So this was a long battle, and there was a lot of prayer and a lot of Jesus, help us, you know. But ultimately, this is what we learned, okay? When he would have that fit, it was because he was feeling powerless. And this was his way to grab onto some form, and of course, it's a counterfeit. Anger is always a counterfeit for true self-control, or true power, amen? It's something that makes you feel powerful in the moment to get angry, but ultimately it's just counterfeit power, amen? So that gave him some sense of power that he could sort of control the situation and just freak out and let us know that it wasn't okay with him, okay? So here's what we learned, and this was the temptation. The temptation we had was to rise to his level of anger and then try to force him to behave by controlling him in some way physically, okay? Now, here's the problem with that, is that the problem is that he's feeling powerless. So if he's feeling powerless, and now I physically restrain him and force him to behave, what is that reinforcing? I have all the power and you have no power, amen? Which is sort of the problem in the first place. Now, it actually sounds right in some ways, depending on how you were brought up, depending on, you know, different parenting things that you've experienced or whatever. But in the light of grace, in the light of what Jesus teaches us, and the fact that as parents, we are their first representation of who God is in our life, We do need to parent from a place of, how would Jesus parent? How is it that grace looks in this situation, okay? And grace doesn't look like forcing control on somebody. That's not what God does to us. But what the heck do we do? Because, of course, we can't let the fits continue. Amen? Amen? So that was temptation number one. And it just reinforces the lie that you are powerless, you have no power, I have all the power. And by the way, I'm expressing my power in anger, which is now also modeling for you that when you feel powerless, get angry, and that's power. Amen? So again, we're reinforcing that lie of powerlessness. Our temptation number two was to try to manipulate him to stop by bribing him or threatening him or giving in to his demand. Okay? We don't negotiate with terrorists. Okay? So that was the temptation number two. And it's tempting when you are in Walmart and you're just like, I just need to get out of here. It's like, fine, take the lollipop, you know. You're just like so desperate at times. Okay? That's the temptation. Now, of course, that reinforces the lie that you are powerful when you rage. And when you rage, you're going to get your way. And that's how you get power. Again, it's reinforcing the wrong thing. Amen? Okay, we're getting to a point here. This is not just a parenting lesson. Okay, so what is the solution? Okay, the solution is to help him realize that he is powerful and that he does have choices here. Okay, so and then to demonstrate being powerful by keeping calm no matter what he's doing. Okay, so I'm going to model for him self-control. You're screaming and having a fit. That's not going to cause me to change who I am. I'm not going to scream and have a fit. I'm going to stay calm, okay? And so here's what we had to do over and over and over and over, okay? We had to, in a calm tone, tell him and acknowledge, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Oftentimes when you see people having fits or freaking out, it's because they don't feel heard. Amen? I'm not just talking about parenting, okay? When you see someone having a hard time, they don't feel heard. When you see someone repeating themselves over and over and over again and getting angry and angry and angry, it's because they don't feel heard, okay? So I would say, Ethan, I hear you, but we're not going to do that right now, okay? So you have a choice. You can help yourself to calm down, or Mr. Spoon can help you to calm down. Would you like Mr. Spoon to help you? And so he had a choice. It wasn't a threat, okay? Mr. Spoon is just a wooden spoon, you know, like hopefully no one sees that as abusive or whatever. But the Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Amen? So that's something that we've spoken to our children about. And if you need help with that rod of correction, I am here to help you anytime you need. So that's sort of the decision that he had to make, though, is that he did have an option to help himself to calm down. Okay, so we would give him a very limited amount of time to help himself calm down. Otherwise, Mr. Spoon would come and help him. So after doing this over and over, you know, he would start to say, I don't need Mr. Spoon. And he would calm himself down because like, no, Mr. Spoon doesn't need to help me. No, it's okay. Okay, so we would find like over time that it started calming him down. He was starting to learn self-control. Amen. For me to wrestle him down and force him to behave does not teach him self-control. It teaches him you are powerless and someone needs to come help you from the outside to control yourself. Amen. So he was slowly learning self-control. It took a lot of patience, a lot of prayer. It took a long time. As time went by, we would sort of, he would calm down a lot quicker and it was just like, okay, are you having a hard time? Why don't you go take a minute on the steps? It wasn't even so much a timeout, but that's where our timeout corner was, okay? Why don't you go take a minute on the steps, and whenever you're ready, then you can come off the steps, and then I'll pray with you if you're having a hard time. So then we would do that for a while, and then he would finally go, okay, I want you to pray for me. I'm having a hard time. And so he would start to put words to his feelings and be able to express, I need help, or I need prayer, or whatever it is. And nowadays, we don't see the fits and things like that. Praise God, he's so good. Praise the Lord. Nowadays, he'll come up to me, and he'll say, Mom, I'm having a hard time. Will you pray for me? And he's just coming to us for help and prayer in that way, and it's so awesome. So we're like, yes, amen. And so we pray for him, and you know, it's just so cool what the Lord does and just sort of uncovers like the feelings in his heart, and it's just so awesome to see. But that's how we need to respond. When someone around us is manifesting powerlessness, what we have to remember is that we want to bring them the revelation that they are powerful, that they have a choice, that they are able to control themselves, that they are able to choose something different than what they're currently choosing, or even to point out the fact that they are choosing something. Amen? He would be like, I have no control. I'm having a fit because of you. You know, it's like, I got a spanking because of you. You know, and we were like, okay, who chose the spanking? You know, who was it that chose that spanking? He's like, I did, you know. And so, because sometimes you have to point out, it's like, you are actually making a choice in this. Amen? So people who are feeling powerless, they need love and they need a revelation that they're powerful and that they have choices. Amen? As powerful Christians, we need to learn to recognize when powerlessness is manifesting in others and when powerlessness is being manifested in our own lives, because we can often walk in that powerlessness as well ourselves. Amen? So when you see rage, when you see complaining, when you see manipulation, you can pretty well tell that somebody is feeling powerless. Amen? Okay. Here's how we can help people to realize that they're powerful. If someone around you is trying to manipulate you or like, I need you to do this or whatever it is, or they're raging or whatever, what is it that you're going to do about this? It's just a simple question. What are you going to do? What have you tried? What haven't you tried? What are you going to do next? And you're sort of empowering them that they have a choice in this, that there is something that they can do. Amen? Something you can ask yourself. Amen? What am I going to do about this? Ah, everyone needs me. Everyone's pulling on me. And oh my goodness. Amen? What am I going to do about this? What can I do? What can I change? What can I fix in this situation? Of course, pray and ask the Lord his wisdom in it. Amen? But we are never powerless. Amen? It reminds me of the man at the pool of Bethesda. Do you remember the man that was, I believe he was lame for 38 years. And then Jesus comes to him and he says, you know, what's going on? He's like, nobody's put me in the pool, right? It's kind of like, I'm powerless. Something from the outside has to come and help me. Amen. He's been at the pool for 38 years. He's like, nobody will help me with this. And Jesus says, what do you want? Amen. And he says, take up your bed and walk. Amen. He gives him a powerful decision that he can make. Take up his bed and walk. And he was healed. Amen. Adam and Eve, as soon as something went wrong, what did they do? It's this woman you gave me. No, it's the snake. Right? Blame shifting. Brandon tries that every day with homeschool. I'm like, did you get your work done? He's like, Ethan distracted me. It's all Ethan's fault. Right? Blame shifting. Okay. That's blame shifting is just more powerlessness. Amen. It's not owning our own responsibilities. Okay. Powerful people are Esther. Okay. Esther could have easily said, I have no choice. I will die. I'm going to die if I go to the king and tell him, you know, that what's going on, they're going to kill my people. But she made a powerful choice, okay? It was a choice of surrender. It was a choice of self-sacrifice, but it was a choice that she made, and it was a powerful one, that I am willing to lay down my life so that my people will not suffer and won't be wiped out. Amen? It was a powerful choice she made. David made powerful choices, amen? When he was just a young boy and he shows up on the battlefield, he knew his identity. It's like, I am a king, I am loved by my father, and he is all powerful, and this guy, I don't care if he's 9 feet tall, he's insulting our God, and he's got to go, amen? He made a powerful choice because he knew who he was. And he said, I am not going to sit here and let that continue to happen when my God can defeat him in a heartbeat. Amen? He made a powerful choice. It's really awesome to see. Okay? We always have a choice, and we can always pray. And prayer, sometimes, you know, I talk to people, and they're like, well, all I can do is pray. It's like, as if it's this, you know, horrible, powerless choice. It's actually a really powerful thing to pray. Amen. There's all kinds of promises in the Word about how powerful prayer is, how powerful it is to speak those things that aren't as though they are. Amen. Amen. So prayer is a very powerful position that you can take in any situation. Okay. So we need to empower people. Grace is empowering. Amen. Jesus empowered people all over the place. He empowered his disciples and they were not perfect. Amen. They came back arguing about who was greater than another. And then what does he do right after that? He empowers 70 more. Amen. He's empowering people all the time. teaching us to be powerful. So here's just a few thoughts on how to be a powerful Christian. You already are a powerful Christian, so you're not trying to become something, but this is how to think like a powerful Christian. Amen? Okay, and first and foremost, a powerful person is not the loudest person in the room. It's not the person that's telling everybody what to do. Oftentimes, that's something out of insecurity or whatever. That's not what we're talking about. But a powerful person knows who they are, and they make powerful choices, okay? So number one, if you want to walk in being a powerful Christian, don't question God's vision for your life. Stop wasting time questioning the vision that God has given you. Is that really for me? Can I really do it? I'm not good enough for that. I don't think that can really happen. You're always forgetting the part of the equation where God, who is the God of the impossible, is the one who is empowering you to do it. Amen? It doesn't matter what your giftings look like, what your talents look like, what your, affluency, matter. It does not matter because you have a God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You have a God who's unlimited in resources, unlimited in love, grace, and power for you. Amen. And he is working on your behalf. So there is nothing that you can't do. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So don't argue with God about the vision that he has for your life, but start to partner with him by confessing it. Okay? Confess that vision over and over and over, even when the enemy's warring against it, even when you feel scared, even when you're full of anxiety. Confess that vision over and over and over because God has given us the power of life and death in our tongue. Amen? Amen. I just want to encourage you. Habakkuk 2:3 says, "For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail." Amen? God's vision for your life will not fail. "Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay." Amen? It's a little tricky. It says, though it tarries, wait for it, it's not going to delay. Though it delays, wait for it, it won't delay. But in God's timing, it always feels like an all of a sudden. Amen? So wait for it, it's coming. "Let the weak say, I am strong." Amen? "Let the poor say, I am rich." Amen. Confess, confess, confess the good things over your life. Amen. Don't let the enemy use your imagination. How many of us, and I'll raise my hand first, how many of us, when especially laying awake at night and you're envisioning worst case scenario of your life, of your job, of your finances, of whatever thing is coming, it's just like, oh my gosh, if this happens, then that's going to happen, and then that's going to, and then we're all going to die, right? And the enemy just grabs hold of your imagination and just gets you in this downward spiral. And do you know what he's doing when he does that? He is trying to prophesy to you. He's trying to prophesy his plans to you. Your imagination is powerful. Don't let him use it. Don't entertain the enemy with your imagination. Amen? That's where it talks about in the Bible that we have power to cast down vain imagination. 2 Corinthians 10:3 to 5, I believe. We have the power to take down strongholds, to cast down every thought the enemy tries to bring, and to cast down those vain imaginations. Okay? When you look at the word imagination in the Greek, imagination is literally the word logismos, which is where we get the word logic, okay? So in your imaginations, it's literally trying to reason, trying to computate, trying to calculate the how, okay? It's never our job to figure out the how, amen? The Israelites, when they were up against the Red Sea, they could not have imagined that God could open that Red Sea and that they would walk right through, amen? They could have never imagined the how. So it's never our job to try and figure out God's how in our life, to try and reason the how with our logic. That's the exact thing that 2 Corinthians talks about, that we can just cast down those imaginations. God, I know that your vision is for this church to be completely filled. If I try to rack my brain as to how, I'm going to make myself crazy, right? I'm going to spin in circles trying to, cajole people in here and, whatever I can do. Of course, I'm praying and ask the Lord for wisdom, and I'm going to move and obey whatever he says to do. Amen. But it's not my job to figure out how. It's not my job to figure out how all these people are going to get healed. It's not my job to figure out how people are going to encounter the Lord. It's not my job. It's his. Amen. So those vain imaginations, gotta go. To the left, amen? All right, so powerful people are also grounded in God's grace, okay? Grounded in God's grace. It's all about what he did, amen? It's all about what he did. You are not an orphan. You are a beloved son, or you're a beloved daughter of the Most High God, amen? That's who you are, that's the truth, that's your position, that's your identity. Amen? Now, we want to be grounded in grace. It's all about what he did. But we also have to keep a healthy tension with that we co-labor with Christ. Amen? It's all about what he did, but that doesn't mean that we sit and do nothing. Okay? We have to co-labor with him. How do we co-labor with him? We pray, we ask him. It's this really interesting thing that God does. It's like he is all powerful. He can make mountains move, but he expects them to move by our mouth. Amen? Amen? It's really awesome. We get to partner with him. We have the easy job, really. But we're supposed to co-labor with him in prayer, co-labor with him in confessing, co-labor in asking and asking and asking. Amen? Here's a powerless statement. If God wants me healed, he'll heal me. Amen? There is no precedent in the Bible for that. Amen? We want to be persistent. Of course, we're going to walk in surrender. God, and this it was a powerful thing for me when I was walking through my health issue. God, I desire to be healed. I pray that you would heal me. But even if you don't, I will trust you. I will walk with you. But that didn't stop me from asking and asking and asking and asking. Amen? Amen? Okay? If God wants me to have that, then he'll just bring it to me. Okay? There is a co-laboring that we do with him because we are empowered by grace, because he has made us to be powerful people. Amen? Powerless statement. I can't, or I have to. I have to because mom will freak out. I have to because the world's going to fall apart if I don't. These are powerless statements. Amen? Okay? We always have a choice. God loves us and gives us grace, yet he also gives us the power to frame our world with our words, and he acts on our behalf when we pray. Amen? So we want to co-labor with him. Okay? Another powerful thing that we can do is pray. Daniel in the Bible was a powerful person. Amen? The reason he was a powerful person is because he had a routine where he would pray to the Lord 3 times a day. Amen? And nothing affected that routine, including the threat of death. When they said, you cannot pray anymore, what does it say that he immediately did? He went into this room with the window open, and he prayed right to the window, and he bowed before the Lord 3 times a day. It did not affect his routine with the Lord. Amen? Can I tell you that routines are powerful? Routines are powerful. Sometimes it's like, we don't want to be religious. We don't want to do something to check off a box and all these different things. But what a routine is that you're making a powerful choice over and over and over and over. Amen? You're being powerful over and over and over. Routines are powerful. If you have a vision to write a book, okay, it can seem really overwhelming. It can be hard to start. It's like, oh, I'm supposed to write a book. It's just like you start to feel powerless and then you just don't want to take any action at all. But how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Amen? If you can do something for 15 minutes, amen, then you are making forward progress. And whatever that is, whether you're trying to get out of debt, whether you're trying to lose weight, whether you're trying to, whatever it is, whatever that vision thing is, when it seems so big and so insurmountable, can you do something for just 15 minutes? Amen. I want to grow my prayer life with Jesus. Set an appointment. Pray for 15 minutes. You can do anything for 15 minutes. And what you'll find is that the Lord starts to reward that and honor that and build that until it's not even something that you're like, oh, it's this routine that I have. Amen. It's a powerful thing to keep an appointment with God. Amen. People can think, I have so much debt. There's nothing I can do. Amen. But steady, faithful plodding. When you honor God in that way, he will add his supernatural to your natural. Amen. We always have to remember God is a supernatural God. Okay, so even though it doesn't look like much, I'm just paying $15 towards that thing whenever I can, or, you know, every paycheck, $15 towards that thing. God will honor that steady, faithful plodding, and he will add his supernatural to it. I can tell you the testimony that Pastor Daniel and I have, and we've shared it before, the Lord put it on our heart to get out of debt, and at the time that that started, we were $60,000 in debt. And, you know, that might sound like a lot, that might not sound like much, depending on where your debt level is, but with the income that we were working with, I mean, that just felt completely insurmountable. It's just like, wow, that's just really, really big. But what we did, we sat down, and with prayer and with wisdom and with guidance and things like that, we sat down, we set a budget, and we're like, okay, we're going to knock it down just a little bit at a time with just this amount, and we're just going to do that over and over and over and over. And what we found is that the Lord added his supernatural to it. It was crazy. We had paid off, I'm trying to remember the exact dates or whatever, we had paid off $60,000 in debt, and I believe it was a little over 6 months. It was ridiculous. I still look back at that, and I'm like, how did that happen? Because we didn't make that much money. But the Lord came in, and we saw forgiveness of debt. We saw certain bill collectors say, oh, by the way, you know, if you can pay this really small amount by this date without us even calling, you can pay this much by this date, then we'll forget it. You know, so we just like worked and worked and worked toward it. Of course, we did our part, but God added his supernatural to the natural, and we were able to get out of it. Amen. He's so good. He's so good. He can do that for you, okay? Powerful people learn a powerful word. It's called yes, okay? Yes is a powerful word. We're called to love our neighbor as ourself, okay? So here's the problem a lot of the time is that we are actually not valuing ourselves, and we're not even in touch with what it is that we need. We're not even in touch with our own feelings and our own frustrations. And then when we are doing that, then we start living in reaction to what everybody else needs until we're so empty and so frustrated that we just want to shut all people out away from us. Amen? And it's because we didn't start with a powerful yes. What is it that we need in our life? I'm going to guard my prayer time. And that's so important to me because that's the number one thing. Amen. I'm going to guard my day off, my sacred Sabbath day. Okay. Nothing's going to interfere with that. I have a yes to Jesus on that day. So no matter what anybody else needs within reason, that Sabbath day does not get violated because that's something that I know that I need, that the Lord has shown me that I need. Amen. You have to have a yes to yourself. You have to have a yes to what it is that you need. Otherwise you burn out. It's like the old saying on the airplane, when the mask comes down, who do you have to help first? Yourself. You're not going to be able to help anybody if you're lying collapsed in the aisle, gasping for air. Amen. And so here's a cool quote from Danny Silk. It says, you can start practicing the skills of assertive communication by paying attention to your thoughts, feelings, and needs and respecting their value. Respecting the value of your thoughts, your feelings, and your needs. And then you can start doing the same for other people. Amen? But it starts by having a value and a respect for what it is that you need, putting that mask on yourself first. Amen? People can't read your mind. So it's your responsibility to speak up for yourself. It's your responsibility to get in touch with what it is that you need. What does your heart need? Amen? And then communicate that in a powerful way and have a powerful yes. Amen? Okay. Another powerful thing that powerful people learn is the word no. The word no is a powerful statement. When you have a strong yes, then you can have a strong no. And that way you don't end up reacting to everyone else's needs. Amen. If I don't wake up by a certain time at my house, and I have yet to perfect this because it seems like no matter what I do, they wake up earlier and earlier. But if I don't wake up at least a good hour, half an hour at the very least, before my kids do, then my entire day is dictated by other people's needs. Amen. I don't have my prayer time. The only way I can get my prayer time now is if I have them covered. So what am I doing? I'm responding to everybody else's needs, and I'm not putting the needs that I have first. Amen. So sometimes it takes routines. Sometimes it takes those routines and things in our lives. But we want to have a powerful yes and a powerful no, so I don't end up reacting to everybody else and living my life in the back seat of the station wagon and my kids are driving the car. Amen? Amen. Powerful people learn this statement. The only person you can ever hope to control is yourself. The only person you can ever hope to control is yourself. Okay, on a good day, you can hope to control yourself. A lot of times when you feel powerless in your life, it's like you're waiting for someone else to fix it. It's like someone needs to help. Oh, my stinking husband. It's really easy for me right now when I'm having a hard moment to be like, you did this to me. Right? That's a powerless statement. Okay? It's like we're always waiting for someone to come and fix me. Come and love me enough. Come and help me. You know, whatever it is. But it's powerless to think that way. We can't control people and people can't read our minds. Amen? You can only control yourself. So you have to learn to set boundaries in a way. For example, if someone is in my face and being disrespectful to me, I can't tell them, you can't talk to me like that. Don't you talk to me like that. Is that going to do anything? I can't control them. They're free to talk like that. I am free to leave that conversation. I'm free to walk away, right? I'm free to limit their access to me, but that's all I can do. So when I'm communicating a powerful yes or a powerful no, what I need to do is describe what it is that I'm going to do, okay? You're free to speak how you want to speak, but I am going to leave this conversation if it doesn't get respectful in the next 10 seconds, okay? And you're still, they have a choice, but you also have a choice, amen? So we can't control anyone but ourselves, amen? Another powerful statement. You have a supernatural God, so you have a supernatural life. Amen? You have a supernatural God, so you have a supernatural life to lead. Okay? Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the natural and things that are just kind of logic and things that seem to make sense to our human brains. Okay? Can I tell you that what you believe is crazy? What you already believe is crazy. It's like people are like, oh, healings and miracles. I don't know about that. You believe that God put himself as a human, became a baby, was raised by people, and then died on a cross and took away all your sins so that when you die, you can go to heaven. Amen? Does that take faith to believe in that? Amen? Of course it does. That's a supernatural story. That's completely supernatural. You believe something that's pretty crazy. Amen? He ascended into heaven, and now he lives in your heart. That's supernatural. Amen? We have a supernatural God, so we should be living supernatural lives. Amen? There should be an expectation that Jesus living in our heart is going to do supernatural things. Amen? Amen. It's not a fairy tale. It is the truth. Okay? But we should be leading supernatural lives. Okay? So why is it such a stretch for us that Jesus is going to do a miracle through our hands? Amen? It was really cool. We had an opportunity. Ethan got to lay hands on someone and pray. They had sprained ankles. And so we prayed, and the person felt a little bit better. We felt like we weren't done praying yet. So we're like, Ethan, why don't you come lay hands or whatever? And so, of course, his prayer always starts, Dear Jesus, thank you for Mommy and Daddy. It's like always how he starts. And then he lays his hand, and he's like, and help it to feel better in Jesus' name. And so we're like, okay, check it out. And so he's checking it out, and he's like, it actually is a little bit better. And so we're like, awesome. We're like, okay, Ethan, why don't you pray again? And so he like prayed. This time he was like more like faith-filled, you know, and he put his hand on the other ankle. I was actually a little worried that he was like gripping it a little hard. I'm like, hopefully that doesn't hurt him, you know, but he's like gripping his ankle, and he starts speaking. We've been talking about in homeschool honey words and how like positive words are like honey. They like, they bring healing and stuff like that. And like what turns away angry words is the honey words and stuff like that. So he's like, I speak yummy honey words to his ankle. And it was actually a prophetic word to kind of encourage that person to speak honey words and those positive words over the ankles, because that was not the confession at that moment. And so it's sort of this little prophetic thing from Ethan. And so he moves around. He's like, it actually is a little, he's like, it's not 100%. He's like, but it's a little bit better. That blew Ethan away. He scampered off, and you would have thought, he's like, oh, whatever. But then later that night, he's just like, Mom, how come I have the power to heal people? And so I had to explain to him. I'm like, well, yeah, you do have the power to heal people because Jesus lives in your heart. And when you lay your hand, it's not just your hand, it's Jesus' hand too. And so Jesus is healing them, but yes, it's through your hand. And so he's just been amazed by that. Of course, he's into superheroes and all this. He's like, I have the power to heal, you know. And now he's milking it too, because he's telling me the other day, I was peeling a grapefruit for him. He loves grapefruits. He's just one of those kids that just like grapefruits. And he's like, Mom, hurry, hurry. Jesus in my heart is hungry. So he's like, he's kind of milking that. But the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Amen? The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. So when you pray, when you lay your hand, it is not just your hand that's being laid. Amen? When you give a word of encouragement, it's not just you. It's Jesus speaking through you. Amen? Amen? You don't have the power of the living God living inside of you for you to lead a normal, natural life. Amen? Amen. God will use you to do powerful things, but you have to come in line with the vision that he has for you, that you are powerful. Amen? He's created you to be powerful and to live a powerful life. Amen? And lastly, powerful people realize that love conquers fear. Love conquers fear. Love is everything. Love is a powerful choice. Love never fails. God is love. If we do anything without love, it is a clanging cymbal. Amen? So love is the most important thing. But as we know, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. Okay? At the heart of powerlessness is always fear, but love will conquer it. Amen? So if you are shy or afraid to pray for someone, when you allow the power of God to love that person and you just have so much compassion, you want to see them healed, it will conquer every fear in you. Amen? When someone around you is hurting, oftentimes that's the hardest time to love them. Amen? Amen? Sometimes that's the hardest, is to love someone who really needs love. Amen? They're acting out. They're acting a fool. Amen? That's when it's hard to love them the way they should be loved. Amen? But love is a powerful choice, and it never fails. Amen? Love is a choice. Okay? People in marriage that say, oh, we just fell out of love. Whoops. You're not powerless in love. Amen? You can make a choice to love. You can make a choice to choose that person over and over and over again. You can make a choice to love them no matter how much of a stinker they're being. Amen? And you would be amazed at what God does through love, because love never fails. Amen? It's a powerful, powerful choice. So be excited about that How to Love series. We're super, super excited about that. So in conclusion, you are powerful. Say, I am powerful. Open your heart and your mind to the powerful vision that God has for your life. Amen. And start to lead your life. And not looking back at the past and not looking at your own failures and shortcomings, but looking to Jesus and what he can do when you are partnered with him. Amen. You are the head. You are not the tail. And you are designed to lead and be powerful. Amen. So Jesus, we just thank you so much, God, for who you are. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you value us so much, Lord, that you empower us, God, that you think so much of us, Lord Jesus, to even live inside of us, to even move through us, God, that we can see healings and miracles and prophetic words and just encouragement, ministry, Lord, witnessing all these different things, boldness coming through us because you're living on the inside of us, God. And Lord, I just pray that every heart, every mind, every spirit would just be wide open, Lord Jesus, to your Holy Spirit speaking to us in those moments when we feel powerless, in those moments that we've let the enemy run our imagination, Lord, that we would be empowered to say, no, that is not the truth. I am not going to let that prophecy go over my life, and I'm going to start imagining and putting vision to what God has spoken, because what God has spoken will not return void in Jesus' name. Though it tarries, it's yet for an appointed time, but but it surely will come. It will not tarry. And we just agree with your word right now over all of our lives, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God, that you have not redeemed us and rescued us so I could live a powerless life, so we could be beat up by the enemy, so we can worry about this or worry about that, live in unhealth or live in debt or feel like we owe people money. Lord, we are the head and not the tail, Lord Jesus. So even show us, God, the little practical things we can do to take action toward the vision that you have for our lives in Jesus' name. Lord, awaken our hearts to the choices that we do have, Lord Jesus. And I speak healing and comfort to all those people that are going through a difficult time. Lord, whether it's some sort of trial or some sort of complicated situation, Lord Jesus, God, we speak life over those situations. We speak mercy over those situations in Jesus' name. But even in those situations, Lord, I pray that you would just bless every spirit to rise up in power and to make the choices that we can make, Lord, to pray, to confess your word, to confess the good things and your vision for our life, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we trust you, God, that you are going to take care of all those things in Jesus' name. And we just thank you for it, God. I thank you, Jesus. And I just declare right now, the Lord just gave a picture even this morning of when the Philistines had stolen the Ark of the Covenant that carried the presence of God. They had stolen it and they brought it to their temple of their false god, Dagon. And they placed the presence of God next to Dagon as if it were an idol. And when they did that, they found the next morning that Dagon, the huge statue, fell prostrate before the presence of God. And I just declare right now, Lord, that every false god in our life, every idol, every stronghold, everything that seems impossible, everything that we've lifted up and magnified and devalued, Lord, your word over, Lord Jesus, I declare it's going to prostrate itself before your presence in Jesus' name. And even they tried to re-erect that thing, and the next day it crashed to the ground, prostrate before the presence of God again, that its head was cut off and its hands were smashed. And so we just declare right now that every enemy grip on our lives, everything that he is trying to exalt over the power of God, is getting crushed right now. Its head is cutting off right now in Jesus' name. The hands of action cannot even perform any action. They're being crushed right now before the presence of God. We declare that every knee must bow to the name of Jesus in Jesus' name. Every debt, bow its knee to the name of Jesus in Jesus' name. Every health issue, bow its knee to the name of Jesus in Jesus' name. Every relational issue, every marriage issue, everything that concerns our heart must bow its knee to the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are more than able to fight your own battles, Lord Jesus. You are more than able to glorify yourself, God. So we just look to you, we partner with you, Lord Jesus, and we just say, Father, you have your way in our lives, God. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus. Show us any steps of action to take, God. And we just love you so much. We give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that one clap. It's praise Jesus. He's good. Amen. Amen. He's good. He's good. Praise the Lord. So as always, we would love the opportunity to pray with you. But let's just pray again. Let's pray a prayer of dismissal. Jesus, we just thank you, God, for who you are. We just dismiss this wonderful, powerful group of people. Lord, take them everywhere they go. Protect them everywhere they go. I just declare that they are armed in the spirit and they are taking ground. Lord, they are moving forward and they are leading their lives, Lord Jesus, empowered by your grace, empowered by you and being led by you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. 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 Amen.